You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Dogs Podcast with your hosts, Blake Reniker, Justin Charles, and Josh All.
What's up, Browns fans? Welcome back to another episode of the Dogs Podcast presented by Omaha Steaks. Josh All alone with you guys today, and I just want to wish everybody happy NFL Draft Week. That's right, the NFL Draft kicks off this weekend, and I can't not wait for everything that's going to happen. It's such a fun weekend. Honestly, if you're a sports fan, like you really get into this kind of stuff, you know, there are some big key moments of the year. I mean, if we're looking at just NFL specifically, I mean, you've got the Hall of Fame game, which of course is never exciting. It always sucks, but it's the mark of the NFL season, and everybody just gets so hyped and excited to finally have NFL football back on the field. And then you've got your training camps. Of obviously everything boils down to week one, the kickoff and everything like that. And then you get your trade deadline, and that stuff is so much fun to gear up for and go into all of that and all the news that happens around there. Obviously the playoffs, you get the Super Bowl, and you get free agency, I think, right before the NFL draft. And it's just one of those key moments of the year that is just so much fun to watch. And if you've been following the show, we've been doing a lot of draft prep this year, more than we've ever done before, really ironing out who the great draft prospects are for the Browns that we could be targeting at each specific pick in the draft in each round. And it's just a lot of fun. It gives us a lot of good insight as to what the Browns could potentially do and prepare us as fans for what we should honestly be expecting from the team Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Now, obviously, not a whole lot of expectations for Thursday. We don't have a first-round pick. This is the final year that we don't have a first-round pick, barring, you know, a trade for next year's first-round pick. The Browns have shown in the past they've got no problem parting with draft picks in order to bring in proven players and other capital. So what I want to do today, Andrew Berry gave a press conference last week, and he talked a lot about the draft, a lot of NFL draft questions given to him, and his answers, his responses were very insightful. And I just want to go through, play a bunch of clips from his press conference talking about draft picks and the mentality, thought process, all those types of things heading into the draft this weekend, just so you can hear from the man steering the ship. And if you're an Andrew Berry hater watching this show, welcome. Everybody's welcome to watch the show, but you're not going to enjoy the content because we love Andrew Berry here. The dude has built such a phenomenal roster in Cleveland. We've never seen anything like this before. In my lifetime, I can tell you right now, I have never gone into an NFL draft before the Andrew Berry era in Cleveland where the Browns literally need zero draft picks to have a final 53-man roster if the season started tomorrow. If tomorrow was roster cutdown day and you had to finalize your 53-man roster for the season, the Browns would be good to go. And that's crazy. That kind of stuff does not happen, but that's what good teams do. And I know for a lot of fans, it's a lot of the toxic fans online for sure, they are still not mentally prepared for the Cleveland Browns to be doing things that good NFL teams do. The fact is, we are. And it's so much fun, and we're going to enjoy every freaking second of it. So let's kind of move in here. We will look at Andrew Berry's responses. And again, he had some questions in there about Deshaun Watson, Nick Chubb, the rehab progress, some things like that, a couple other questions that we're not going to dive into on this episode. Maybe we'll get into that at a later point. Today, I really just want to focus on draft talk because, again, we're only a few days away. And before I dive into the Andrew Berry stuff, guys, we are doing live coverage of day two on Friday night at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time on YouTube. So make sure if you guys are watching the NFL draft at home and you don't want to listen to the BS mainstream media talk about whatever, tune into our show. We will be recapping everything that happened on Thursday night. We will talk about all the first round moves, the draft picks that were made, the trades, everything that goes down, because there is always crazy things that happen, especially in the first round. We will talk about all of that, and we will be leading everybody up to the Browns' first pick at 54, if they keep it. We'll talk about that. And pick 85 in the third round. So we've got everything going on that night. Kenny Max in studio, DF Sports in studio, Devontae Travis in studio, along with the dogs. It is going to be a ton of fun coverage on YouTube. So make sure if you are on YouTube, please subscribe to the channel, tap the notification bell, and like this video too while you're at it. But you don't want to miss when we've got anything new coming out and going live. That way you get alerted. And again, you don't miss it. And one last thing, if you're listening on audio, Apple Podcasts, please scroll down to the bottom of the page. Drop us a 5-star review. It's just a quick, easy, no cost to you way to help support the show and help get our show in front of more Browns fans like you guys. We really appreciate that. All right. So since in the press conference, some of the reporter questions are a little hard to hear, the audio isn't that great, I went through and just kind of jotted down what the questions were, and then I'm going to play Barry's responses to them. But we'll kick it off here with the first one. He was asked, at what point on Friday do you actually start setting up the mentality of, okay, these are our options with this first pick?
Probably starts Thursday night, and where you kind of re-strategize a little bit based on what's happened on Thursday. But in reality, you probably get a more narrow focus, you know, Zach, maybe 10, call it 10 picks out. Because that's when really players become, I guess, more in striking distance, so to speak.
So there you see Barry's, you know, answering the question with, obviously we're watching Thursday night. We're paying attention to which players are falling, which players are slipping. But he quickly goes to the, realistically, it's about 10 picks out. So when we get to around picks 50, we'll say 42, 43, 44, something like that, especially Friday night when we're detailing the draft, that's when we're really going to start honing in and focusing on what the Browns might be doing based on who's available. Because with Andrew Berry talking about that, it does not seem likely. Now, again, this doesn't mean there's 100% guarantee it's not going to happen, but it just doesn't seem likely that the Browns are going to move up, if they move up, too far to get a guy. So when he's talking about 10 picks out, that could be 15. Who knows? If there's a guy that falls out of the first round into the mid second round, the Browns are like, guys, we have to have this player. They'll make it happen, or at least they'll try. They'll try to get a deal to move up to grab their guy. But in all reality, while I personally don't think a trade up in the draft is very likely for Cleveland this year, if it were to happen, that's where the process would really, really start to gain traction. If a guy is slipping, you know, picks 42, 3, 4, 5, 46, 47, it's like, man, maybe we can move up six spots here and grab this player that we think, you know, this team in front of us, is there's a good chance they'll take them if they get to that spot. So that's really the only scenario I see that happening, but I just thought it was important to highlight Barry's, you know, thoughts on the matter and talk through that. So the second question here that he was asked, I thought was pretty interesting. They said Coach Bill Belichick recently has said that they realistically would use about 1.5 years to really evaluate a rookie. And does Andrew Berry agree with that? So here's what he had to say on that matter.
I think it depends on position, and I think it depends on a prospect's individual, history. Like, you know, for instance, O-line and D-line, they're typically longer developing positions. Running back, that's a position that typically plays, more quickly, but that can be variable depending on, hey, was this player a small school prospect that didn't have a ton of resources? Is he relatively new to the position? Is he relatively new to the sport? So that all can play a factor. I think what I would say is pretty consistent is that just like the transition from college to the NFL for rookies in general, regardless of where you're taking, it's hard.
So I think before I talk about his response there, I just want to mention before I go into more questions later on, these reporters and press conferences are so dumb. I don't mean to be mean. I don't want to sound like a dick when I say that, but man, you guys are getting prime time opportunity with, the Cleveland Browns general manager to ask him pointed questions and things that, if you're trying to go back and write a really good article to help fans, get a good insight to the team and what they're thinking, ask better questions. You guys are so freaking stupid. Seriously, it grinds my gears. Oh, so this one coach said it takes 1.5 years to evaluate a prospect. Do you feel the same way? No, absolutely not. It just like all these other questions, it freaking depends, guys. It depends on the situation. You take every player on a case-by-case basis. That's why some of the stuff online that I see drives me absolutely insane. Everybody wants to just pigeonhole one player into a box, and their only reasoning to do so is because, well, this other player 10 years ago did this one thing. Okay, that makes zero sense. And Barry is 100% right. It depends on position. It depends on where you drafted them, what your expectations were when you drafted them, where did they play college, what competition did they face, have they played that position their entire career, did they just transition to that position. I love that he talked about offensive line, defensive line, especially like we talk about all the time how interior D-line, that defensive tackle position, and tight end on the offensive side of the ball, those two specific positions take a lot longer on average, I should say, because some guys can get it right away. But typically what you see is those players take a lot longer to transition from college to the NFL. Why? For instance, tight end in college, you're going up against who knows what kind of competition you're going up against, when you might not be asked to use great blocking techniques. You might just be able to overpower guys because you're bigger, faster, stronger, that kind of thing. And college offenses don't really use tight ends not the same way the NFL offenses do, typically, or not at a very high pace or a high volume. So they get to the NFL and all of a sudden there's this steep learning curve, because it's like, okay, you were really good at running this one or two routes in college and dominating, 18-year-old little safeties out there. Not anymore. Now you got to go up against NFL linebackers. And not only that, but you got to chip, you got to block, you got to do all these things. You're going up against TJ Watt. You're not going up against, some guy from, Hillbilly State. So it is a bigger transition. Like he was saying, running back, for instance, if you do any even fantasy football stuff, running back is more of a plug and play position. Like if you're a good running back in college, the transition to come into NFL level and just step right into a backfield, because the concepts are largely the same. It's find your hole, hit the hole, make a move and go. If you're good at doing those things in college, it's much easier and much more likely you're going to be good at it in the NFL. Obviously, it's not the case for everybody. That's why I said it's on a case-by-case basis. But overall, when we just look at positional groups in general, these are the takeaways. Defensive tackle, why is that one so difficult? Because when you're in college, you're going up against, offensive linemen, maybe a center and some guards who, in a year or two, they're going to be, working in an accounting firm or selling cars. Not that there's anything wrong with those things. I'm just saying they're not going to be professional football players. You get to the NFL, these are professional guards and tackles you're going up against. And it's harder. It's a steeper learning curve for some of those positions. So I just wanted to bring some of that up. Just thought it was interesting that, Barry, again, really detailing that your expectations for a prospect, just it depends on the player and everything surrounding them. This episode is presented by Omaha Steaks. Browns fans, I don't know where you're at It may or may not feel like it, but it is spring, and the Omaha Steaks spring sale is here, and it is the perfect time to get fired up for all your springtime grilling. 50% off site wide. These are the sales that I love to take advantage of because it's the perfect time to grab everything from Omaha Steaks at half the price. And when you use promo code DAWGS, D-A-W-G-S, when you check out, you get an additional $30 off your order. It's a deal that you just can't pass up. So head over to omahasteaks.com/dogs right now. Order the perfectly aged tender steaks, ocean fresh seafood, juicy burgers, incredible air chilled chicken, and all their delicious desserts, ready to eat meals, all this stuff. They got appetizers and stuff too, guys. Chicken wings and mozz sticks and everything you could possibly want to stock up for a fantastic spring grilling season. 50% off site wide, omahasteaks.com/dogs. Use promo code DAWGS, D-A-W-G-S, when you check out for $30 off your order. Minimum order may be required. Before we move on, Ohio, Bet365 is offering new users $150 in bonus bets this month. To receive your bonus bets, all you have to do is sign up for Bet365 using our link, make a first deposit of $10, and place a $5 wager on any game. Once that first $5 bet settles, you will receive $150 in bonus bets, even if you lose the bet. To be eligible for this sign-up bonus, you must sign up through our link down in the description. So if you haven't yet signed up for Bet365, click our link in the description and place that first bet. This offer is only available for new customers who are 21 and older and physically present in Ohio. Please gamble responsibly. If you or a loved one has a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Check the episode description for the full terms to see if you can qualify.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So after that, Andrew Berry just kind of continued his conversation on that last question asked and just talked about the mindset of building the roster and the expectation of rookies overall, just not even specific groups or anything, just overall. And I thought what he said here was very interesting. Take a listen.
I think it was something like maybe 32% of rookies play an average of 17 snaps a game. And that's before you even get to the quality of snaps that they're playing. So it's very rare that a young player comes right out of the chute and produces like a starter, you know, which is why we prefer to be in a roster state where if we bring a young player aboard, they can develop into a role and then ultimately develop into a starter as opposed to being pressed into that from day one.
So that just goes back to what I was saying right at the beginning of the episode. The Browns have a roster build mentality. It's not like we just lucked into this, okay? The front office does everything so well calculated and so intentional. The roster, like I said at the top, is already built to where if the NFL came out tomorrow and said, you have to name your 53-man roster today for 2024, Browns are set. We're already good. We've already got it locked and loaded. We're good to go. Now, of course, we need more depth, and we want to get the younger guys in here. That's all part of the process. That's why we have the draft every year. But the Browns are in that position, like AB said, where we don't need anybody to come in here and start from the jump. We want them to come in here and develop and hopefully eventually develop into a starter or, you know, a big-time role player, a good depth piece, whatever the case may be. And, you know, you look at guys like that we drafted last year. Luke Whipler didn't play last year. He played in that last Bengals game, and that was it. I think he could be a stalwart of the offensive line down the road. Not last year, not this year, but down the road. I think he can definitely contribute there and play some meaningful snaps. Same with Isaiah McGuire at the defensive end position. Again, last year, didn't play, didn't need him. He was buried on the depth chart, but it doesn't mean he's not good. It just means he didn't have the opportunities, which is okay for a rookie. Come in, develop, learn, and then when we bring you in, you're ready to make an impact. We saw that with Alex Wright last year. His rookie season in 2022, I don't remember the snap count, but it was pretty low. He did not hardly play, and moving into last year, Alex Wright had a sneaky good, a very quietly good season. When you go back and you look at what he actually did on the field, what he contributed, but obviously it was overshadowed by Myles Garrett and Za'Darius Smith and Tomlinson and all these other guys on the D-line. Alex Wright's moving from, you know, a mid-round rookie pick in his first year to a rotational player in his second year. Well, the next step, if he continues to develop, would be starter. And that's exactly what the Browns are trying to do. So I just love the philosophy, and I love the way they're executing it. So the next question for Barry was from one of my favorite people in the world. That's Mr. Tony Grossi, and that's a whole lot of sarcasm. But Tony asked if Andrew Barry knows whether he'll use the second round pick or if he'll trade down. And then Andrew Barry after that gets asked if he misses not having a first round pick, which there's a whole lot of first round pick conversation that we're going to have here because there was a lot of questions about this stuff. So let's kick it off with the first one about whether or not AB is going to use the second round pick or trade down.
It really just depends on how the board falls. If I'm being truthful, Tony. So I'm not sure as we sit here today, but we'll see if we can break the trend of making it 3 years in a row without a second round pick.
It's not having a first round pick.
Look, you want as many picks, as many high picks as possible. I wouldn't say that I miss it on like Thursday or Friday night. I'm probably more focused on the players we can acquire. You know, and they're not necessarily the end all be all. They're a great resource to have. You know, but how you can deploy them can be in a variety of ways.
So again, what a just stupendous, stellar, very good question for Tony Grossi there. You guys represent the media so well in Cleveland. Are you going to use your second round pick or do you plan to move back or move up or whatever he asks? And Barry's like, dude, it just depends on who's on the board. I mean, I don't understand the point in doing this exercise if we're just going to ask layup, fluff, obviously answered questions. Like, no shit, that's exactly what... yes, it matters how the board falls. I mean, if like I talked about earlier, if a guy falls into that 45-ish range in the second round and the Browns are sitting there saying, we had a first round grade on this guy and he's still here, we have got to go up and get him right now because he's not going to come all the way to us at 54. But this is one point I wanted to make with you guys is if you haven't done any draft prep or, you know, you really haven't followed the show too much when we talk about prospects or whatever, this is what I want everybody to understand. And if you have, drop in the comments and just tell me, do you agree with this? And if you don't, tell me why you don't agree with this. But from my perspective, doing all the research I've done and looking at all the players available, when the Browns pick at 54, there is, I'm not saying there might be, there is going to be a lot of very high quality prospects on the board. And I would imagine that there's going to be a lot of prospects high on the Browns draft board who are still available at 54. And rather than picking a player there, say they've got seven guys on their draft board, they get to 54 and they say, okay, well, there's seven guys on the board here that we all have graded pretty evenly. Why pick one? Why pick one? Trade back. Because I'm telling you guys, if you do any mock draft simulations at all, you will find, because there's a lot of players that I like at 85 in the third round. But you will find that the gap from 85 to pick 156, the Browns' next pick after that, is big. That's a big gap. And I, if I were the Browns and that was the situation, and you're sitting there at 54 and you're like, man, there's still a lot of guys on the board that we want and that we like, trade back. Trade back 10 picks. Because there's a good chance, if there's seven guys there that you really like, at least one of those guys, probably more like three or four of those guys, will get to you, because your board is not the same as everybody else's in terms of needs and things like that. Just trade back and grab another pick in that big gap so that you can continue to fill out your roster. You move back 10 spots and you still get a guy that you would have drafted at 54, but now you get him at 64 plus a pick. That's the kind of stuff that Andrew Berry loves to do. And if I were a betting, if I was betting on this and somebody said, okay, right now you have to bet 54, Browns trade up, stick, trade back, I would bet the Browns trade back, because it's just the move that makes the most sense logically to me. But again, I'm just a fan doing fan stuff. What the hell do I know? But okay, so now I'm going to jump a little bit further ahead in the interview or in the press conference, and then I'll come back and catch a couple other questions. But there were a lot of questions from the media about the whole first round pick thing. So I just figured I'd group them all together here in one spot. So the next question about the first round pick, he is asked whether or not 3 years not having a first round pick and the difference that not having a first round pick has made in planning for the draft.
It really hasn't been that different, Scott, in terms of how we prepare. You know, where it's probably been the most different, it's just been a slower Thursday night. But in terms of how we think about building the board or how we think about evaluating prospects or, you know, managing our picks, that really hasn't fundamentally changed.
Feel like less excitement without a first round pick inside the building, maybe?
Not at all. I understand that from an external perspective, because those are usually the most well-recognized prospects, you know, coming into the draft. But we're excited about maximizing the group of players that we can acquire during the weekend. And there's still a number of good players up and down the draft board.
I love what he said there about, I understand how the excitement around a first round pick is more like an external thing. And that's so true. Just look at social media. People are freaking out about not having a first round pick. Why? Because that's the night that everybody watches the freaking draft. Everybody wants to watch the first round. They want to watch Thursday night. They want to see who goes where and all this stuff. And use a first round pick and all this stuff. And the Browns don't have one. So they look at that as a disappointment. When has first round picks really ever worked out for the Browns anyway? And he even alluded to it earlier. Only like 50% of first round picks even hit. And I think, what do you say, like 32% get a second contract or something? I forget what the numbers are. But it's just, he either said this before or he says it in a later clip. I honestly can't remember at this point. They're lottery tickets. They're good lottery tickets, but you're really just taking a shot in the dark and hoping to God the guy pans out. And there's some more first round pick stuff here that we'll detail. Like the next question is, how do you feel the team has weathered not having three first round picks, or not having the last two first round picks and now this one? So here's what he says about that.
I think that there are a variety of ways to build, to build a team. I think, right, we saw, I think the Rams this week, if they keep their first round pick, it's the first round pick that they'll have in the Sean McVay era. And I also think the reality of the first round picks, like the league rate hit weight, it's like 50%. They're lottery tickets. They're good lottery tickets at the end of the day, and highly, highly valuable. But even if you have a first round pick, it's certainly not a certain thing. So I think maybe having a level of realism in terms of, what can be achieved with your pool of resources or your assets. That's really part of it, but we've been pretty systematic in terms of how we were going to deploy our picks, our dollars, how we were going to manufacture picks to make it up with volume. We feel pretty good about where the roster sits today. But look, we are looking forward to having one back next year for sure.
So there it was. There's where he said that they're lottery picks. And I mean, the whole first round pick thing, it's really been driving me crazy because I feel like I exercise a little more of the realism that he's talking about there of saying the Browns have a championship level contending competitive roster. If everybody stays healthy, or, you know, if we stay healthy relative to the rest of the league at our key positions, because no team is 100% healthy through the season, everybody's going to lose guys, you know, starters and things like that during the course of the year. But if we can just stay healthy, keep our core group of key players healthy, we are a team to contend with at every stage of the season. And it doesn't matter if we have a first round pick this year or not. So I wanted to talk about first round picks in general and just the concept and the idea of it. So in 2022, that was the first year the Browns did not have a first round pick in the Deshaun Watson trade. And the first pick the Browns made in that draft was in the third round. And they drafted a guy, you might have heard of him, Martin Emerson Jr. He now has a nickname, Emerson Island. He's like a freaking stud. In 2023, just last season, the Browns selected an offensive tackle in the fourth round named DeJuan Jones. And you guys might have heard of him too. He turned into a high level, not just a starting caliber right tackle, a high level starting right tackle for the Cleveland Browns last year in a year that he wasn't supposed to play at all. You know, if everything goes right, Jack Conklin would have had that spot down the whole season. DeJuan Jones, as a rookie, gets shoved into that spot and turns into a high-level starter. So if you went and redrafted the 2022 draft and the 2023 draft, guess where teams would take Martin Emerson Jr. and DeJuan Jones? They would both be first-round picks. But we got them in the third round and in the fourth round. So, you know, when we're looking at the draft as a whole, we have got to start understanding a little better. And I don't necessarily mean you guys watching this or listening to this show, because I feel like a lot of us are on the same page because we talk about it all the time. But there's so many people out there that just think, well, without a first round pick, we can't possibly get a good player. Okay. So it's also interesting to me that some of the same people who are griping and moaning and complaining about not having first round picks are the same people that say Jed Wills is a bust and Greg Newsom's no good. Well, then what is it, guys? If every first round pick, like if you have to have first round picks to get good players and the last two first round picks we made you don't like, what are you crying about? So just, you know, stuff like that to think about. It just cracks me up, the hypocrisy of people. Like they just, they don't think about what they're saying, obviously, but kind of, I'm sorry, one last thing. Tony Grossi followed up, continuing to berate AB about the organization, how they feel internally about this one. This one cracked me up. Man, what a moron this guy is. So he was basically asking, how do you internally feel about the gap between the young players on your team and not having any of those young players having been selected in the first round in the last two drafts? So here's how Barry answers that one.
Yeah, I think, Tony, it's probably less about where you select them and how they perform. You know, we have a really strong young nucleus, you know, with our, you know, with our team. And, you know, I don't, you know, we don't feel internally like there's a huge gap in terms of our like young veteran pool of players. You know, if anything, the question becomes, okay, like how do we retain as many of these guys as possible as we, you know, get into a phase where, you know, they're going to get in their mid-20s and be eligible for second deals.
Tony, I just said this. Do you not think Martin Emerson Jr. is a first-round talent? Do you not think DeJuan Jones is a first-round talent? Do you not think those two guys are going to get big second contracts in the league? They weren't first-round picks. How many first-round picks get a second contract, or how many of them don't get a second contract? Think about Jed Wills. Jed Wills, yeah, he got his fifth-year option picked up. There is no guarantee he's getting anything in terms of a second contract in the NFL, like anything worth noting. But do you think Martin Emerson is going to get a big second contract with the Browns or with somebody else? Hell yeah, he is. So this kind of stuff drives me nuts. And AB is 100% right. It's not about where they were drafted. It's about how they perform. Okay. Martin Emerson, I just keep going back to this, third round pick. Dude, he's going to get paid a second contract as if he was a first round talent, because he is. So this kind of stuff grinds my gears. Just it makes me realize that the portion of the fan base that is more toxic, is more ignorant, doesn't seem to understand how things work, gets caught up in silly notions like, oh, well, we can't get good players if we don't have first round picks. That stuff's all driven by this BS stupid media, guys like Tony Grossi. And, you know, if I were in that room, I don't know what questions I'd be asking Andrew Berry, but I would definitely be using guys like Martin Emerson in the third and DeJuan Jones in the fourth as really good examples of, you know, something to the effect of how do you evaluate talent and how do you see a guy like Martin Emerson in the third round and get a good inkling that this guy could be a good starter for our team. Now, obviously, you don't scout guys saying third round pick, first round talent guaranteed. But you do scout guys saying, look, I think this guy probably has first round talent upside and we could get him a little bit later. Where does that kind of research come from and what drives that? Now, I don't know if he would answer it, but those are the things I would want to know. I don't want to know, well, how do you feel the gap is because you don't have any young guys, you know, on your roster that were first round? Dude, Tony, just stop. Just freaking stop.
This episode is brought to you by Danger Coffee. Browns fans, we talk about how Danger Coffee is made free from mold toxins that are in 45% of the world's coffee, but that's not all that Danger Coffee has to offer. Mineral and nutrient deficiencies are a big deal. They make you feel sick, tired, stressed, and they can give you brain fog. These deficiencies negatively affect your immune system, your digestion, sleep, metabolism. Have you ever wondered why you get an initial burst from your coffee, but then you get that little crash not long after? Danger Coffee's patent-pending process remineralizes your body with more than 50 trace minerals and electrolytes, leaving you more energized, engaged, powerful. These micronutrients enter the cells to boost performance. They bind to toxins to provide detoxification support. I know that sounds like a lot, but the bottom line, guys, is minerals matter. And most of us really don't get enough of them on a daily basis. Danger Coffee delivers micronutrients, plus it gives you access to the minerals you already have. Head to dangercoffee.com, use our code DAWGS, D-A-W-G-S, for 10% off your order. And that code can be used over and over. So you get 10% off every order you make using code DAWGS. It's time to start every day off with a cup of coffee that gets you going and actually keeps you going. Dangercoffee.com, code DAWGS.
So speaking about young guys who were first round picks on the team, and I just mentioned him, Greg Newsome. Andrew Berry was asked about anything new on Greg Newsome and picking up his extension.
Nothing new on that. I want as many good corners as possible, Tony. You know, we have, going back to my point about the league playing in 11 personnel, I always, your base offense and defense is really more three receivers and three corners in this day and age. So that's really how we think about it. Like, even though we're technically a 4-3, you know, how many snaps will you realistically see us play in base? Not very many over the course of the season. So corner is a premium position. We have three guys who can play press man coverage at a very, very, very high level. That's not a skill set that I'm looking to give away.
So we talked about this probably 2 months ago, talking about, will the Browns pick up Greg Newsome's fifth-year option? Pretty sure we said, don't expect any sort of answer on that until after the draft. And here we are, like 5 days away from the draft being pretty much over, and it hasn't been picked up yet. It, again, corner, like Barry said, premium position. Greg Newsome, despite what you might think about the guy based on one or two games or, you know, three or four plays in a single game, Greg Newsome is a damn good cornerback. We've talked about this before. He would be the number one cornerback on probably more than half the teams in the NFL or close to. The only reason he's not in Cleveland is because we have Denzel Ward and we have Martin Emerson. We have, like he said, a great, probably the best trio of cornerbacks in the league. Now, they grabbed Cam Mitchell last year and he looked decent in limited time. So we'll see how he develops going into year two. I firmly expect Andrew Berry to draft a cornerback at some point in the draft this weekend. So be on the lookout for that. And it just really depends on, one, where they draft the guy and what sort of player the prospect is at the position. Because if it's a later guy from maybe a smaller school, maybe he didn't have quite as much competition, maybe he's definitely more raw. Greg Newsom's probably getting his contract picked up on Sunday or something. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's going to happen. Now, if they draft a guy early and he's from a high-profile school, he had great stats, he's just got a couple things to work on, well, that gives him a little more flexibility to do some things with Greg Newsom, but it just really all depends how they continue to build the depth there, because as it stands now, we absolutely need Greg Newsom. We can't let him go. We got to have him. So it'll be interesting to see what the Browns do this weekend, but again, definitely expecting the Browns to go cornerback at some point this weekend. All right, so this next question, the reporter says the roster depth is the best it's probably been since you've been here, and there's not a lot of room for rookies to contribute right away. So how do you kind of balance that out when you're building the roster and going through the draft? And here's how Barry answered that one.
I don't think any of us anticipated going to the season and we would be down, three tackles, Nick Chubb and Deshaun Watson for most of the year, that we would, lose, Grant Delpit and Juan Thornhill and Rodney Cloud, late in the season. So in terms of spots on the 53 or who's going to play what, like, it all looks good in May until adversity hits or something unexpected happens, whether it's injury or performance. Probably more generally, as we think of the current roster relative to the draft has always been about long-term investment in the roster. We don't think of it as, I talked earlier on how rare it is for a player to come in immediately and play at a starting caliber level. We really look at it with, okay, how are these players going to impact, call it the 25 to 27, Cleveland Browns. And if they develop quickly and produce with impact in their rookie season, that's great. We're not going to, DeJuan Jones did that. We're not going to keep them off the field. But we really do look at it as in terms of a long-term investment in the team.
So again, like I said earlier, like I have been saying for weeks and will continue to say, depth and development. The three Ds this weekend, draft for depth and development. Just go into the draft, temper your expectations, because I know it's difficult having spent decades going into draft weekend as a Browns fan thinking, okay, we have to get at least three starters out of this draft that are going to start week one. That's just not the case anymore. You have got to go into this with the mindset of, okay, how does this player impact next year's team? Like he said, the team in 25, the team in 26. And that's kind of how I keep using Isaiah McGuire, Luke Whipler, those guys last year. Well, what's their role in 2 years? We don't need them this year. What's their role in 2 years, 3 years? And, Alex Wright, again, another great example. His rookie year, no role, didn't need him. Last year, hey, here's Alex Wright having a quietly good year, depth and development. So have that in mind this year. Again, if we get guys like DeJuan Jones who have to step in sooner than planned because of injury, that sucks. But man, I'm telling you guys, at some point in this draft, the Browns are going to select a player who probably a year from now, we're going to be adding him to the Emerson DeJuan Jones list saying, we got a first round talent in the third round at pick 85 or 156 or whatever the case may be. That's going to happen. I definitely expect that to happen. Okay, so just a couple more questions here that I want to highlight before I wrap this thing up. But, they ask Andrew Barry how the extra COVID year, because if you remember, the COVID year added a whole extra year of eligibility to all of those players' college careers, which is why last year, this year, we've seen a lot more older prospects coming out because they're there an extra year than what we normally have seen in years past. This is really the last year for that. And he was asked, how has the COVID year impacted how you view prospects and their age relative to their competition?
I think probably the biggest area is how we think of maybe a prospect who's a little bit older relative to their competition level. It used to be like, okay, let's say you took a player who was going to be a 24, 25-year-old rookie. Pre-COVID, that player was playing against a bunch of 18, 19, 20-year-olds. Now, the college players, because so many of them are taking, the extra year, it's really maybe not the same calculus in terms of how you think about their production or skill set. So that does play a factor, but it's really probably just a minor part of the puzzle, to be honest. It's not something that would fundamentally change our approach.
So we talk about this all the time. older prospects, while, you know, might have really good senior seasons and things like that, but if you're a 23 going on 24 year old college player and you're dominating 18, 19 year olds who are just out of high school and all that kind of stuff, teams do detract away from that. Because a key position, I'll just use as an example, if I can get my tongue untied, wide receiver. You hear about wide receiver breakout age all the time. Breakout age is important because if a wide receiver has what they call the breakout age, and it's, I forget all the measurements to determine a breakout age. It's a certain number or percentage of targets and touchdowns and score, all that kind of stuff, yards. But like if you hit that at age 19, you know, that's a pretty good young breakout age because you're going against cornerbacks and defenders on the opposing teams who are maybe 18 or 19, but maybe they're the older guys too, like 23, 22 years old. So you're dominating your competition at an earlier age. Whereas if you're a 23-year-old breakout, well, you dominate a younger competition. So there's definitely a couple question marks that throws up a red flag. So you hear Barry there say, yeah, you know, we kind of consider that a little more right now, but at the end of the day, not a whole lot of change in how we view that sort of, you know, the standard they have. And I think we saw that last year where we've seen in years past, Andrew Berry, we talk about all the time, he likes them young guys. He likes the 21-year-old guys. The 22 is probably the oldest he really likes to draft because, again, when you're drafting depth and development, you don't want, you know, your guy to be developing and, okay, he's ready to contribute and he's 27 years old. Well, that's not good. He's probably not that great of a player. I want my guy to be, all right, you have been depth, you have developed, and you are now ready to contribute and you are 24. That's where the Browns like to be. And it just sets things up better for future contracts and all that kind of stuff, getting those younger players. But last year we saw Barry deviate a little bit with the first pick he made, Cedric Tillman. He's 23. I think he just turned 24 now. That's older than rookie, especially wide receivers that Andrew Berry likes to draft. But the value was on the board. You consider that COVID year. You look at the college production. You say, okay, it's worth a shot here. So I think you'll see him more likely to bend his age boundaries in this draft. But again, probably not a whole lot. And finally, this was a very interesting question, or at least it was to me, because we've been talking a lot in recent weeks about the Browns and how they've been using their top 30 visits, that every team gets 30 of these in-person visits with prospects. And he was asked how top 30 visits help evaluate players and all that kind of stuff. So his response on these visits was interesting. So I'm going to play this, talk about it, and then we're going to wrap her up.
Yeah, so the 30 visits are helpful. I actually think this is one of the first year that we've used, I think we used probably the most this year than we've have in the past. We really use the 30 visits for to address selective like questions that we have for a prospect. And that doesn't, like when I say questions, that doesn't necessarily mean like a bad thing, but it may be, you know, it may be a player where we need, you know, increased medical on them. It may be a player where we want to see how they handle a full day installation in the classroom. It may be a player that we want to talk through some behavioral issues with. So it really does vary. It's a helpful part of the information gathering process as we build the entire board. So it's helpful from that perspective, especially if we haven't had enough touch points throughout the, probably from January through April with All-Star games, combines, pro days, things of that nature, or if we just need to, you know, get a little bit more clarity on a particular part of the profile of the prospect.
So the first thing I found interesting there is that the team doesn't use all 30 of their top 30 visits. I just, going through a lot of this process, I just assumed, well, they only get 30 of these visits and there's, you know, 300 prospects, you know, out there to pick from. So they better use these visits wisely. And he said, this year's really the most we've actually used them since I've been here, which means they still haven't used all 30 of them. They're not going to use all 30 of them, and they've never used all 30 of them. So that was interesting. And another important thing to remember, like he said, the scouts have touch points all throughout the pre-draft process with a lot of these prospects that they're scouting, that they're they're targeting, that they're keying in on. They've got the All-Star games, like the Senior Bowl, the East-West Shrine game, that kind of stuff. They've got the NFL Combine, these players' pro days. So the scouts actually interact, meet with, see these prospects up close and personal at every step of the way. Whether they've got these, you know, the website trackers and stuff, you know, whether it's an officially, oh, they met with this person officially at the Pro Bowl or at the Senior Bowl. And then what Brian Bosarge told us is whether they report on any of those sites that the Browns met with this player or that player at the Senior Bowl, if a player was at the Senior Bowl, they meet with every single team while they're there. It's just the way it goes. I would imagine, like he said, the same is true for the Combine. And then obviously, if you're going to players' pro days, if you're going to Ohio State's pro day, for example, you're meeting with everybody who's there, whether you're, you know, really keying in on them or not. So there's exposure to these prospects at every step of the way. So I just thought that was important because, I mean, social media, if you follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, any of those things, like, you'll see that I really like to go in, highlight the players that the Browns bring in for these top 30 picks. Because in the past, they have drafted several of these guys that they've met with. You know, they used 30 visits on guys like Greg Newsome and DeJuan Jones and Siaki Ika. And there's a handful of players from the Andrew Berry era now that they've used a top 30 pick on, and then they've gone ahead and drafted. But obviously, the majority of the players they've drafted weren't top 30 visits. And I think it's more important, and I've done this on previous episodes, to look at the top 30 visits to get a better indication of what positions they're focusing on versus the specific players. Now, the specific players are important to mention and note and talk about a little bit, but it's really the positions that are the biggest indicator because, like this year, I think the majority of the Browns' top 30 visits that they've used have been allocated to offensive linemen. To me, that says we're walking away with offensive linemen from this draft. I think we walk away with a tackle and a guard at some point. I don't know where we get those guys from, which rounds or anything like that, but we're coming away with offensive linemen. And the second highest position I believe we've allocated top 30 visits to was defensive tackle. Seems like we're going to be going D-line at some point. And the third highest was wide receiver. So you can look at the Browns collection of picks and just know that we're walking away this year with at least one offensive lineman, probably two, one defensive lineman at least. You never know. They might go two more defensive linemen just if value is there. Who knows? We're walking away with a cornerback at some point, and we're walking away with a wide receiver. Where the other picks fall, we'll see. But I'm telling you guys, those are the positions that we ought to be looking for. And I know, I'm sure a lot of you are out there going, Josh, you didn't say linebacker. No, I did not say linebacker. And that is because, go back and watch some previous episodes, I just don't feel strongly the Browns feel strongly about linebacker. As far as allocating more valuable, higher draft capital to the position and spending a lot of money there, because they just don't. So it'll be, if they go linebacker, in my opinion, it will be later in the draft or it'll be UDFA. So that's what I see going on at the linebacker position. And I could look like a total moron come Friday night. Maybe they stick at 54 and grab a guy like Junior Colson out of Michigan or who's the other guy? I highly doubt they would draft Peyton Wilson. He's like 24 and coming off two back-to-back season ending knee injuries or something. I don't think he's on the board for the Browns. Edgerrin Cooper, maybe, but he's not an inside linebacker type guy. Trevin Wallace, maybe, from Kentucky. I just don't see it happening. Doesn't mean it won't. Doesn't mean it can't. But that's just not my expectation. So drop in the comments. I want to know what you guys are feeling, thinking, gearing up for this week as we head into the draft. It's going to be a lot of fun. I want to know your predictions for like the first round. Talk to me about some crazy, I'm going to use some words here. Talk to me about some crazy fucking shit you guys think is going to happen. Seriously, I want to know. I want to, like, first round stuff, because we're going to talk about it Friday night on the live show. Hope you guys join us. Jump in the chat. Just chop it up with us, but let me know ahead of time. Put it in the comments and we'll read some of this stuff maybe on Friday night and just see whose predictions were accurate. I mean, did you guys call this crazy trade? Is T. Higgins getting moved? Is Brandon Ayuk getting moved? Or some? Is A.J. Brown going to the New England Patriots? Like, there are some things, some rumors going around. And obviously, if there's one crazy trade in the first round involving like a stud wide receiver like that, that's That's pretty cool. Some years we get like two or three. You never know. But talk to me. Drop some predictions, some bold takes, some hot takes and stuff in the comments, and let me know what you guys think the Browns are going to do in this draft at any point, or stuff you want them to do, players you want them to pick. I want to hear from everybody. So I appreciate you guys tuning in. Again, like the video on YouTube, subscribe to the channel, continue to help push us to 10,000 subscribers. We're getting closer and closer every day. Couldn't do it without you guys. Best audience in the world. Love everybody who follows the show, whether we all agree on everything or not. And honestly, it's more fun when we don't, because that's how we get a good diversified viewpoint on everything going on. Because at the end of the day, we all have the same goal. We want the Cleveland Browns to win football games. We want the Cleveland Browns to be good, fun, competitive, and enjoy watching them. And we want to win a damn Super Bowl. And if that's not your goal, if your goal and main focus is not wanting to see this entire team succeed, then fuck yeah. Okay, I told you guys I was going to use a little bit of words here. So again, thank you. Appreciate you guys. See you later in the week. And let's freaking go, Cleveland Browns.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Dogs Podcast. Make sure you subscribe on YouTube and follow us on Twitter at the Dogs Podcast. Get your thoughts on the show at thedogspodcast.com.
This episode is sponsored by Aura. Browns fans, your online data and identity are way too precious to be left just hanging out there in the open for these data-stealing thugs to come after it, take it, and sell it to whoever they want. Scammers and spammers are just capitalizing on all of your data being sold, and I'm telling you right now, you don't even realize it, because I didn't realize it. Head over to Aura, Aura.com/dogs, D-A-W-G-S. Get a 14-day free trial. This is what I did. Create your account, and then you can run your data check, a free data check, and it will tell you how many data brokers are selling your information on the dark web and in different areas of the internet. And then Aura starts working immediately to remove your information from those places. I kept thinking I was good online. I was fine. I wasn't doing anything crazy with my information. I was being cautious while I was shopping online, all those things. And still, when I ran my check, I had 14 data brokers identified selling my information, and Aura immediately started taking my name and all my information, my address, my email, my phone number, everything out of those places. I am so sick and tired of getting the spam emails, getting the spam text messages, the calls, and it's time to put all that crap to an end. So check out Aura, 14-day free trial, run your check, see what all the features they have to offer, like their VPN, their parental controls, everything that they have to protect your online identity. Aura.com/dogs. Take back control of your identity today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.